You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Monday morning, May 5th, 2025. Sam is on the board. Greg is back in 1 hour with Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air will be here later this hour to tell us what all is coming up on their program this week as well. Coming up, we're minutes away from talking to someone from the Sierra Club, Wisconsin, about Great Lakes Awareness Day. And one way to mark that is to be part of their attempt to set a world record to help demonstrate public opposition to an oil pipeline running across the land up north. And then in our next half hour, we'll talk to Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. They're getting set to mark a 30-year anniversary of exposing money in politics. So we've got still a very busy hour up ahead. Temperatures around the state that range from 37 to 57, depending on if you're in that low-lying areas like around Camp Douglas or out on the western fringes there where it's already in the upper 50s, Brittany, and only going to get more beautiful from here.
That's what I was going to say. It is so nice already. Don't forget those sunglasses. You're going to need them all week long. We have a huge high-pressure system that is sitting here and it's staying put, and it is going to give us a bunch of sunshine, dry conditions for most of this week. I mean, we do have a chance of some spotty sprinkles far southeast this morning, but that winds down and dissipates by noon, so we're dry from there on out. Temperatures today will be making it into those mid-70s far northwest, and we are looking at mid-50s far southeast. And then tomorrow, getting even warmer, hitting about 80 degrees into parts northwest in the state and about 70 degrees far southeast. And as we go through Wednesday, we do have a weak cold front that pushes through. So we do drop a little bit Wednesday, but still staying dry. We spike right back into those temperatures as we go into later in the week. And the only chance I'm really seeing of, you know, maybe a shower or two or a storm would be Saturday. But, you know, the state doesn't really need it. We're actually out of a drought for most of us. I think only 2% is technically in a drought far southwest. And for the rest of us, and especially in central Wisconsin, we're perfect. So the rainfall, I mean, it's nice to have a break in it, right?
You hear that, folks? We're perfect. It's like daily affirmations with Brittany Merlot. You're perfect just the way you are. Thank you, right? or at least the weather. We will take that at this point. And by the way, for folks who might have missed it last hour, congratulations on all of your awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, the awards banquet over the weekend here.
Thank you so much. That was so much fun, and I'm still in shock. It's so cool.
Shouldn't be in shock. You are our new award-winning meteorologist, journalist, storyteller, award-winning storyteller, Brittany Merlot.
Yes,
we appreciate that so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. We'll see you a little later. Coming up in the newsletter that you can get from Up North News at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, you may need a different kind of ID real soon. By and large, in Wisconsin, you probably don't. Wisconsin started handling the so-called real ID some time back, but maybe you haven't received yours yet, depending on when you update your driver's license. So head over to our social media page. Search for Up North News WI and look for the story there about real ID and what you need to do to make sure you don't have any hiccups the next time that you travel. We also have a Sunday morning newsletter all about Wisconsin politics, almost all about Wisconsin politics. I could not resist the temptation for our Sunday morning question of the week to say, look, even all of you who don't follow the NBA regularly, is it time for Giannis Antetokounmpo to be traded by the Bucks and rebuild? Have they done as much as they can do and they keep getting eliminated in the first round of the playoffs? Or do you keep Giannis and you try to build something else around him? It's one of those where you get spirited answers both ways from folks who are not necessarily following the Bucks every day, but definitely have opinions. And you can weigh in on those as well. You can always send us an email here, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, you can put something in the comment section, but keep it nice. There's always at some point where I get an itchy trigger finger and let the name callers go. But you can always, of course, call or text the show as well, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text from that number. You can also use the Civic Media app. This is Great Lakes Awareness Day. Very important to recognize that those bodies of fresh water that we have are clean. They are a treasure. And we should never for a moment assume that they're going to stay that way. There are always challenges, and some are in the water and some are near the water. For example, there's this oil and gas pipeline that runs right through the Bad River watershed and could pose some real problems there. Folks from the Sierra Club, as well as the Bad River Nation and others, want more of the public to understand the stakes, and that's where we're going to talk to Jadine Sonoda from the Sierra Club Wisconsin chapter. Jadine, good morning. Welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Can we talk just first generally about the Sierra Club? Folks know it as, you know, it's a national name, a national organization looking out for our natural resources. Can you tell us a bit about more of the Wisconsin chapter?
Yeah, so the Wisconsin chapter, as you said, is part of the broader organization of Sierra Club, which operates across the nation. We focus a lot on statewide issues. So we've got members and volunteers really across the whole state working on a variety of issues, also focusing on local issues in particular areas. But yeah, we're really looking at climate conservation and how all of these pieces intertwine with environmental justice. And so today I'm here to talk a little bit about one of our campaigns focused on Line 5.
And that Line 5, for folks that don't know the full background on it, it is a pipeline that has existed for decades. It's getting near the end of its natural lifespan. And there's certainly been dispute from the Bad River community, and to the point where Enbridge is looking to reroute the line around the reservation community there. But even rerouting that line, Jadine, would not take it out of the potential to do immense harm to the Bad River, and then, you know, flowing right into Lake Superior, not that far away.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some incredible maps that look at the route that Enbridge, the pipeline company, is proposing to construct in, and just the number of waterways that it cuts across. It's really scary to think about. We've seen the impacts of Enbridge's construction, for example, with Line 3 in Minnesota a couple years ago, and just the devastation of punctured aquifers and frackouts of drilling fluid. So there's a lot of worry that this construction and continued operation of the pipeline would result in damages both to the waterways and to especially the sloughs in the area and Lake Superior.
And so wherever that line ends up going, it could be a potential threat. We've certainly seen it spill in other places like Michigan. Enbridge had a major spill there. And so let's get into the project that is designed to demonstrate public opposition to, you know, that potential for an environmental disaster. What is the world record that you're trying to set, and how are you going about doing it?
Good question. So we're really looking for something fun and a way to talk about this that's positive and uplifting. And we were thinking, what better way than to try and set a world record? We're going to be attempting to break the world record for our largest collection of origami fish. The record is currently 18,303. We are working our way up towards that number. But the intention here is to really find a way to talk about Line 5 and especially the importance of protecting the Great Lakes while we're doing a fun activity, a way to like get people engaged from all age spans, from places that might not be interested in just like hearing about Line 5, but think an art project is really cool. We're bringing some like fun and creativity into the project.
And so you're just looking to collect as many origami fish as people want to send to you?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we've got people hosting origami parties across the state, across the region, and actually really across the country. We've collected fish from almost all 50 states, I believe. And we'll be incorporating them all into one display this summer to officially like set and break the record.
that will be quite a display to have more than 18,000. You don't have an example in front of you by chance. Have you been doing any folding there at home?
I do. Hopefully this is visible.
For folks watching on social media here, what do you have? There you go.
A little fish made with some recycled paper, which is what we've been encouraging people to use. But we've gotten a lot of really, really cool fish sent into us made from many varieties of different materials.
And you can learn more over at fishforfuture.org. Again, fishforfuture.org. And if you get there and you click on sign me up, you're brought to a typical Google form, if folks are familiar with that. And if not, pretty easy. It gives you a date by which the fish have to be arrived, have to arrive at the collection location, put in your name, how many fish will you try to make, do you want to be listed as a participant, any other place for comments on there. So how would you evaluate the response so far?
It's been amazing. I feel like people have been really excited about it. And kind of like I had mentioned before, we've got a lot of new people who are learning about the importance of protecting the Great Lakes and how Line 5 threatens the Great Lakes. We've got a lot of schools who are participating. I've heard of someone who is bringing this to a nursing home that they work in. We've got a lot of faith communities who are participating. Just in general, I feel like it's been a really great opportunity to reach more people and find something that is really exciting, and a way to uplift the positive pieces of protecting the water and the watersheds and the areas that we all live in.
This is a little bit off topic, but we did have a caller, I think it was Ollie, calling in and wanted to know about Congressman Tom Tiffany's desire to make the Apostle Islands a national park, which sounds interesting on the surface until you realize the potential for drilling or development in that area once you designate part of it as a national park. And so I wanted to see if you wanted to weigh in on some of that chatter from the congressman.
Yeah, it's something that we are taking a look at. I feel like we're still having some discussions, so can't make too much of a comment yet. But I know I've heard concern from local folks as well talking about this. I know that it's been creating a lot of buzz from lots of folks that I have been organizing with around Line 5, really paying attention to this.
So it's not just the Line 5 that is a potential threat. But again, yes, if the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore is able to be designated as a national park, that conceivably could open things up. And like you said, that's what everybody seems to be looking into right now. It does not sound Tom Tiffany-ish to just want to declare something a national park and protect it from mining and drilling. We've known Tom Tiffany long enough to know there's something else going on there. JD and Sonoda joins us, and we're going to talk more about their attempt for a world record for collecting origami fish as a way to demonstrate public opposition to the Enbridge Line 5 project. We'll talk about the events that are coming up in just a couple of minutes after a break. But before we go to that break, a little bit of sports here. The Brewers were mighty close to getting swept by the Chicago Cubs over the weekend, but Freddie Peralta pitched six innings of just lights out baseball, and the lineup for the Brewers finally remembered how to string together some hits and score some runs, and they defeated the Cubs 4-0 on Sunday to take one game out of that series. And so the Brewer homestand continues now with the Houston Astros being in town Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before the Brewers hit the road again for Tampa and Cleveland. So you can catch the Brewers and Astros this evening starting at 6:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward as well. Still ahead, we will be talking about the 30th anniversary of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign with Nick Ramos, the executive director. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Let Let us continue our conversation now with J.D. and Sonoda from the Sierra Club of Wisconsin about Fish for the Future, an attempt to set a world record for collecting origami fish and calling attention to the Enbridge Line 5 project up in northern Wisconsin as well. Learn more at fishforfuture.org. Again, Fish for Future. That's F-O-R, fishforfuture.org. On that page, J.D., are several events that are listed, including right away this week, one called Line 5 Origami S'mores. So, look, if you're feeding people s'mores along the way, don't make your fish sticky, but you can combine two great things, a world record and one of the best possible snacks for a springtime evening.
Yeah, I am really looking forward to this event. It's being put on by Sierra Club's Fox Valley Group. It'll be in Appleton on Thursday evening. And it should be a great and pretty casual opportunity to learn more about the project of Line 5, ask questions, fold some fish, eat some good food. And I was just actually looking at the event page as well and wanted to put in a plug for one that is new, so it's not up yet, but it will be happening in Ashland this coming Saturday at the co-op, I believe, from 10 to 12. And it'll be, you know, similar activity. Feel free to stop in whenever and make a fish or ask some questions about what's going on with Line 5. These have been really good opportunities to meet people and to just hear, you know, where we're at.
And they're not even limited to Wisconsin. I saw one that said Fish for the Future at the Fulton Street Market. I'm like, I don't know the Fulton Street Market. And I call it up. And, well, that's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is a project that has some legs.
Yeah, we have been working with a bunch of amazing groups from across the region. There's been a lot of partnership and coalition around stopping Line 5 because it's so important. Of course, Line 5 currently is going through the Bad River Reservation, and it also is running along the bottom of the Straits of Mackinac. And so a bunch of groups in Michigan have also been really actively following this. And while there are state level processes that are separate because of the state distinctions, it's one pipeline, and what happens to it in one place impacts everywhere else. And so we've been working together on this. It's been great to be able to connect and have folks from both states and across the region really learn more about both of the active fights on this pipeline right now.
There's one more to tell you about in Wisconsin. It's two weeks from yesterday, Sunday, May 18th, will be an attempt at, it says, join 350 Wisconsin in collaboration with Rise Up Central Wisconsin to reach their goal of folding 300 origami fish. So you have a chance to head over to First Street in Wausau on that Sunday afternoon, May 18th, to take part in that as well. And like you said, the number of events, I think, is only going to continue to grow from here.
Definitely. Yeah, I know we're probably working on getting some more up, but in the last, you know, couple of weeks, especially with Earth Month, Earth Week, Earth Day, I've heard about a lot of events, and a lot of fish are coming into our office to get counted.
Now, in terms of getting back to the pipeline, and your website notes that Line 5 transports 22 million gallons of crude oil and natural gas across 645 miles of countryside every single day. This is by and large a pipeline from Canada to Canada, you know, running through northern Wisconsin and Michigan along the way. So when folks say, well, wait, you know, the president promised drill, baby, drill, and this is good for our energy needs, but the amount of direct energy need from this particular pipeline is fairly limited.
Yeah, definitely. I think that this is a common misconception, which I totally understand, because Enbridge has pumped, you know, I would guess millions of dollars into their PR and ad campaigns that scares people. And, you know, in Wisconsin, there are no stations where oil is removed from the pipeline. So there's a small amount that is used particularly in the Upper Peninsula, but there are options to provide that same like propane and resource in the meantime while we're going through this transition to clean energy. And like you said, I think, you know, upwards of 70-75% of the product in this pipeline is going from Canada back to Canada. I have heard several times before that, you know, one of the reasons why this pipeline is here and not in Canada is because they have stronger environmental regulations. So that really speaks to the need to protect the waters here and how great that danger is that Canada didn't want it in their lands.
I mean, it's just you look at a map like I am right now, and that's exactly it. It's not like it couldn't go through Canada. There certainly would have been a way to, but when you're looking for, you know, the least or the lesser amount of environmental regulations, you can understand why people like Sierra Club say it's not a matter of if Line 5 has a spill, but when. And I alluded earlier to the disastrous one on the Kalamazoo River in Michigan back in 2010, but you really only have to go back less than 6 months to see an Enbridge pipeline spill, you know, tens of thousands of oil in Jefferson County here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking that as you were talking, it's every time you turn around, basically, it feels like there's another oil pipeline leaking and spilling, which is really concerning because I know, especially when you think back to Kalamazoo, there's a lot of questions as to how strong Enbridge's detection system is and how much they're actually able to clean up. I know tar sands oil is really, really difficult to clean up because it sinks and it's heavy, which makes it incredibly hard to get out of the landscape, and especially when we're thinking about waterways with really unique and like special geographies, that will be extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm. Janine Sonoda joins us from the Sierra Club. And again, if you want to be part of the folding origami fish, enough of them to set a world record, head to fishforfuture.org. Again, fishforfuture.org. Janine, thank you very much for visiting with us. Appreciate it. Good luck with all that folding, and avoid those paper cuts.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk to Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and they're marking 30 years of exposing the role of money in politics. Some of it is they try to be secret. Some of it, they don't care about it being secret or not, because there's so much of it, it doesn't matter to them. But it should matter to you what people are attempting to do. And so Nick will tell us more about that from the standpoint of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. And a reminder to sign up for our newsletter, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner, and be part of our weekday newsletter, our new Sunday morning politics edition, and we have a new monthly sports edition as well, talking about some of the good, positive stories in the world of Wisconsin sports. So a lot to follow from Up North News. Let's talk about the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign now, getting set to celebrate 30 years of exposing money and politics and other ways the system is sometimes rigged against regular folks. And Nick Ramos joins us to talk more about that. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You know, I'm not much of a morning person, but you know, Pat, I'm happy to be here. I'm ready to rock and roll, get a week started with you, man. And I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, we are appreciative of you being here and of what all the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign does with that anniversary that's coming up in the middle of this month. Tell us a bit more about, well, we'll get to the anniversary events in a minute, but for folks who aren't familiar with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, tell us more about that first.
Absolutely. So, as you've correctly said, I mean, the organization is turning 30 this month, May 15th. And, you know, the organization originally back in 1995 was created to think about this issue of money and politics. What a novel concept, especially coming off the heels of this Supreme Court race that we just had here. But, you know, over the years, we've the name Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, democracy is such a big word. It's a word that can encapsulate and mean so many things depending on who you're asking. And so, you know, over the years, we've spent a lot of time expanding the type of work beyond just money and politics, because money and politics applies to everything. I mean, but we're thinking about things like Fair Maps and the work that we've done through the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition when it comes to ballot measures and educating the public about what in the heck does a constitutional amendment mean on your ballot. or trying to hold people accountable when they're trying to mess around and do funny stuff with our democracy. I mean, we are a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization dedicated to making sure that our electorate is an informed one that can be able to make real choices about their lives, because there's lawmakers and there's state actors that are doing things, and people don't get an opportunity to hear exactly what is going on, and we want to make sure that they are equipped and ready to be a part of the change to have the best Wisconsin possible.
Well, and we have the conditions that we have for a host of reasons. A lot of folks point to Citizens United, but you actually have to go back even further to the Buckley-Valeo decision of 1976 that equates money as speech, which is ridiculous and continues to be proven more so as the years go on. When you have billionaires that can participate in elections to the degree that they do now, and we ended up with this again, shattering the record for a judicial race in this latest Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And Nick, the whole point of this being money now at this ridiculous level is about so much more than speech. And oh, looks like we've lost our connection to Nick, so we'll see if we get him back on the line in just a bit here. But it enables me, while we wait for that, to note that, again, it's not a matter of, your billionaire is my billionaire is better than your billionaire, Nick, is what we were saying. The fact that billionaires can spend this kind of money tells you that th this really is not, money is really not free speech, and they should not be equated as such.
You came prepared, man, because everyone wants to talk about Citizens United, but you're absolutely right. I mean, we're in this situation where we have this twisted and corrupted idea of free speech is, but really, like, we need to have a hard reset on the system if we want to get out of this death loop that we've become in when it comes to money and politics. And I think that we can. It's just, it requires some people power and some politicians actually finding some backbone and being willing to change the issue. And I think that we have a real opportunity, especially coming off the heels of this election, but also we did some statewide polling, and 88% of the people across the state think that money in politics is a problem. And so I think that, like, it's an issue that we've all known as a problem, but I think as we continue to get better examples of why it's a problem, it's going to be in people's faces in a way that it hasn't before, and we're going to be pushing aggressively to get some real reform here in this state.
Oh yeah, and when I go deep and bring up the Buckley-Valeo decision, which has been, I've been flying the flag on that one for, 20 some years, that is a case where it was a liberal Supreme Court. And like anything in politics, if you get something wrong, you got to have the ability to say so, and it's worth saying so that liberal court back in 1976, they just flat out got it wrong. And if you're going to take money out of speech, if you're going to stop calling corporations people and giving them the same rights, you have to look back at that decision and say, no, money is not speech, because it gets to your poll, which not only showed 88% concern, but just 8% of voters believed that they, as voters, have the strongest influence on elected officials. In other words, the other 92% recognize there's a lot of people in line ahead of them to get the ear of their favorite elected official.
I mean, it baffles the mind that you could get so many people in this day and age to agree on something. And I just feel like right now, like, people are upset that they feel, and it doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, everyone thinks that the system does not work for them. So, like, we need to have some really great conversations about why people feel that way, and then talk about what is the solution to these problems. And I can tell you right now, letting the billionaires and the millionaires make these choices and get to put their thumb on the scale when they want to, that most definitely is not going to be the thing that the people want. And so we're in this kind of, I get to hear our president right now talk about the golden age of America. And while, I don't necessarily agree with the golden age of America with everything that's happening right now, I can tell you that, we're entering this stage where I think people are upset and mad in a way that they want to really, like, shake things up and see things be different. And I think we're going to do it.
Well, and there's a lot of people that agree, and you're all going to gather for this 30th anniversary coming up on Thursday, May 15th, is going to be something called the People's Gala. Tell folks how you're going to be celebrating 30 years of your work.
Oh, behave. Well, check it out. I mean, we've all been to those really stuffy galas, and I'm not putting any shade on anybody that's got any galas up here that are coming here in the near future. But, you know, for 30 years and thinking about what we've been doing alongside fellow Wisconsinites and people around the country, you know, our opportunity to celebrate our organization, we're going to be coming together Thursday, May 15th, as Pat said, in Madison at the East Side Club. You can go visit our website, wisdc.org, but it's not going to be anything like the galas that you've seen before. It's going to be really the people's gala. I'm not expecting anybody to dress up in any suits or anything. I hope people come casually. And, you know, it's not going to be some stuffy dinner that's just going to be your typical chicken or, you know, your pasta dish that's just going to be basic. It's going to be a rewind of 30 years, and we're going to get a chance to really look at the highlights, the accolades, and stuff, and talk about our future and the plans that we have. We got Dan Schaefer from Recombobulation Area and Civic Media. We got Kristen Bry, who's going to be co-hosting as well. And it's going to be a fun night. It's open to the public. You got to pay for your seat because this is going to be, you know, different than other annual gatherings that we've had. But I promise you, it's not going to break your back. And you're going to get an opportunity to have a great meal, a great time, great show, and get to see us celebrate 30 years and be a part of this movement that we have and bringing in another 30 years for this organization. We're just going to take it a year at a time, but I would love to see people there, and definitely check out our website, wisdc.org, if you have any questions or if you want to sign up.
And let's you know, let's be frank. As you look back at 30 years, it's going to include things where we thought progress was being made, and then it wasn't. And most folks would point to the McCain-Feingold legislation at the national level, but folks also know that at the state level, that I had passed the Impartial Justice Bill that was designed to clean up state Supreme Court races, and it was in effect for all of one race. And then, you know, when Republicans took over in 2011, the first thing they did was they scrapped the impartial justice law. So, I mean, there have been definitely fits and starts to try to get big money out of politics.
Hey, I mean, from your lips to God's ears, brother, and you're absolutely right. And that, like, we have to talk about the whole story. It can't just be, you know, moments, but talking about the peaks and the valleys. And, you know, God bless you for having the foresight to think about, you know, these issues and try and fix them. And I think that when the time we're in right now, it's going to take a lot of folks and a lot of work to just make sure that we can reach a solution that is amenable and agreeable to everyone. But, like, you know, we're in this weird hypertoxic space where, you know, folks want to try and railroad people instead of having good faith negotiations or conversations. And I think that must stop. And we need to, and Wisconsinites aren't going to put up with it. I mean, they're one of the smartest electorates, if not the smartest electorate in this country. I mean, they spend a lot of time trying to break through all the fluff. And so we've got some good work ahead of us, but I think that we could be dreaming bigger, thinking about public campaign finance reform for this state, thinking about real disclosures and transparency when it comes to just the shell game that we have with our money and politics. I mean, we can do a lot. And there's a whole coalition of folks that we've organized recently that believe that we have an opportunity to do something special here. And so we're going to keep pushing in these years ahead, and I hope that, you know, the people will be engaged and want to see some real change. And we got to do our part to pitch it to them and make it interesting enough that they bring it into their regular everyday lives. And I think we can really do it.
Along with calling out the influence of big money, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign is also the quintessential place to look up campaign contributions. They have a searchable digital database of contributors going way, way back. And that certainly doesn't happen by itself. And so along with the gala that you've got coming up, you're all the time looking for folks who would like to make donations and show support for the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. How would they go about that?
Absolutely, Pat. I mean, you're over here being the rainmaker for this organization that I need to be. But yes, the database, if you've ever been there, like on Open Secrets, and you've tried to look up campaign donations, guess what? You have something like that in your state right now, Wisconsin. And it's a unicorn because there's not a lot of people that do this. I mean, hell, Open Secrets, I think, wanted to buy us at one point in time. And we're here, still standing, trying to give you the best and latest information when it comes to your politics. And so that you can be informed about what kind of industries and what kind of people are trying to prop up these campaigns that we have to see every year. And so if you are in a position to support, I mean, coming to the gala is definitely something that helps support us. But if you know that is something that you're not interested in or you're unavailable, as I mentioned, you can go to our website, wisdc.org. At the top right corner, you'll see a button that says donate or subscribe. Click on that, sign up for it, and make sure you sign up for our e-alert because you get to hear from us every week about the latest when it comes to the state of play in Wisconsin, events, all the goodies. But like, all the love, all the support, and in the times where nonprofits are being attacked and things are happening, you know, small dollar donations and fundraising means everything to orgs like mine and other orgs that are out there in this space. And so, you know, if you're interested in being a part of the group that's working alongside other orgs to make history and make big things happen, we would love to have you on the team. And you can join this team anytime, whenever it's feasible. So wisdc.org, come join us.
And that donate button is a big orange button in the upper corner there, like you said. So smash it and help them out. Nick Ramos, thank you so much. Great to talk to you. Happy anniversary to you guys.
Pat, thank you so much. Have a great day, brother.
Thank you. I'm Pat Kreitler reminding you it's about every one of these words from our national promise, liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We're still getting used to some of this new production music that we're using for the show. And this one just sounds like, you know, it's really gritty and dirty. And we're at a rodeo and getting off her horse is Jane Matinair right now.
So me.
Spurs that jingle jangle. She spits some of her chew and says, good, good morning, Wisconsin.
Ching, ching, ching,
ching, ching.
Ching. Those are my spurs.
Ms. Matinair, how are you?
I am well this morning, Pat Kreitler. How about yourself?
I'm good because I got to spend a big part of my Sunday just resting, reclining in a newly installed hammock. If I'm saying that word correctly, Jane, I don't know.
This has been a morning thing.
It's a hammock.
Oh, baby.
Oh, boy. There's that divide again.
Here's the question I have for everyone. Is it, though, like... I'm going to put it out there.
And by the way,
we're
just doing pronunciations. We haven't even got into, you know, bubbler versus fountain, soda versus pop.
Right.
All those good things.
It might be a regional thing, Pat. It could be a regional thing.
Oh, there's definitely regional things. I mean, you will not hear use guys much in the western part of the state. You will from a couple of folks, but not nearly to the degree that you do in the eastern part of the state. And that's fine. You know, We're a diverse bunch. Oh,
yes,
no.
We are.
Don't tell Trump. He might deport all of us. My goodness. How dare we be diverse that way?
Yeah, can't have diversity. Don't want that.
No. No diversity and no due process. Just thinking back to that Trump interview. Is it your job to have due process? I don't know if that's my job. I don't know. Constitution? I don't know.
Or
sounds optional to me.
I know. It's But, you know, he gets a pass for everything.
Yeah.
Sure seems to. Even in his loungewear, dressing up as the Pope, you know, over the weekend with that AI image of him as a pontiff, which it really kind of gets to me because that's exactly what I was planning to wear when I officiate this friend's wedding next week, you know, during my trip away. And
oh, is that what you're doing?
Yes, I teased them that I was going to look for a mitre. I found out that that's the name of the hat the Pope wears, a mitre, and the robe and everything, and I probably won't go to that extreme, especially now that Trump wore it, because it's going to be who wore it better. And I don't want that kind of a comparison.
Well, that's a lot of pressure.
Yes.
Sure, that's a lot of pressure. We are going to talk about that later on this morning. I am very curious. Wisconsin is a large Catholic population, and some of the things I was seeing on social media over the weekend Not everyone is happy. And then, of course, on the other side is, oh, it's just a joke. Yep. You people need to lighten up. He's hilarious. He's hilarious. That's exactly what I want in a commander in chief.
Well, how long is how long has Pope Francis been gone now? A week, week and a half?
Has it been? A week.
Standard time before you can make fun of him and the position and the whole thing. You know, it's like 72 to 96 hours. So he's within the lines of reason of total and absolute humor, everyone. So just take it down a notch.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, when you talk about hilarious, thinking yeah. one of my favorite comedians, Kathleen Madigan, has a whole riff on how
all the
different Pope names. There actually was a Pope Hilarious. And that we need to get back to that. We need another Pope Hilarious.
Pope Knucklemeister. There's so many possibilities.
but he was Pope from 461 AD to 468.
All the good days.
We are overdue to bring back Pope Hilarious.
And when you look at the drawing of him, man, he looked like a guy who loved a good rib tickler.
I bet. Oh, they were so funny in the 400s. Yeah. They knew how to have a chuckle. That's for sure.
Fifth century is when Pope comedy really peaked.
Speaking of Kathleen Madigan, she is going to be. I think she's coming to Milwaukee.
She already did.
Oh, she just did, and we yes, and we. Again, my wife and I are just huge, huge fans of her shows, of her weekly podcast. She's way overdue for another special. Yeah, we've seen her a couple of times live. Yeah.
She taped it in Milwaukee, and I know that because we had a show the same weekend at the Laughing Tap, and we had two of our regulars come in, and they said, we had to leave the Kathleen Madigan show. I'm like, why? Because she was filming a special, you couldn't leave the room.
Oh.
And one of them has issues with having to go to the bathroom. And she's like, there's no way I can last 2 hours. So they left and came to see us.
Wow.
And like just dumped the tickets. Like that was it. Ooh. I was like, wow, that's.
And those were not inexpensive tickets. I looked.
No. They were I think they started like $50 and just went up from there.
Yeah, went up. Yep.
And I always have to remind Sherry because she thinks she's the bigger fan. Like, wait, I saw her first because her big break was in the very first season of Last Comic Standing. And she was just so good in that a very long time ago. But
well, okay. Kathleen Madigan had been doing comedy probably for about 20 years before she did
probably.
That show.
Well, that's how you become an overnight sensation, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look at Jane Mattner. She's like this overnight sensation now.
Popped on the scene from nowhere.
Yeah. After, five years in Milwaukee area broadcasting, at least.
At least.
Something like
just
that.
Just a couple.
Did you join the crew at the WBA Awards?
We were at the WBA Awards on Saturday night. It was wonderful. We're going to start off the show with just a little recap of what happened. But I do want to say, have you ever been, Pat? You've been to those, haven't you?
Once or twice in my old TV days, yes.
Broadcasters are the worst audience you could ever ask for on the planet.
Amen.
We do not shut up. Nope. For anything.
No.
I haven't been to a WBA Awards in a long time, but the poor speakers are up there to kick off the event. Nobody shuts up. All the tables are talking. I'm looking around like I feel like I'm the librarian of the room. It's like
I know. It amazes me that these
we just can't shut up.
Again, congratulations to we had a lot of winners.
We really did. It was really great.
Really glad to see that and we already talked about Brittany's awards and others. So wonderful.
Brittany and Melissa Kay and Maggie Dawn. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome.
Great local news recognized.
Did I ramble on so much that I didn't ask who was on the show today, or did I just forget?
You did not, but we have Mitchell Hoyt from Skinny Sticks is our Beyond the Cheese for this month. They make maple syrup. And why would you call someone Skinny Sticks when they make maple syrup? Mitchell is going to explain that in our Beyond the Cheese segment in hour number two, right after the 10 o'clock news.
Oh, my goodness. So much information here.
Don't miss it.
I mean, we did what we could for 3 hours. There's more information to come.
Absolutely.
With Jane and Greg coming up right after the news. Thank you, Jane. Have a great vacation, Pat. Thank
you.
And Greg, we'll see you back here tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. as we get set to do our mornings, as we do here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks to our guests, and thanks for you for being here. We are part of Courier Newsroom. Up North News is a pro-democracy newsroom. Have a great day. See you tomorrow morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.